This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and welcome to The Property Show. Recently, the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association of Malaysia, popularly known as REDA, unveiled the findings of its property industry survey covering the second half of 2017. The findings highlighted the need to have a one-stop data collecting center that would allow property developers to better plan their projects and reduce waste. Keith Kam spoke to REDA President Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar to find out how the use of big data can help the sector.
Malaysia's property sector could do with a bit more access to information in order to better plan where, what types of housing and how much commercial space are needed before embarking on projects. We caught up with the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association Malaysia's President Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar to find out what brought on this idea.
At this moment in time, I think not only for property developers, but also for purchasers, they should know where there are launches in certain locations and the type of products. As you know, it is in the Asian mentality for us, we have to be homeowners. It's been driven to us from our forefathers. First thing that you do once you get your paycheck is to buy your first house. So for the developers, with the big data that is provided, at least we can see the places that we are proposing to launch, where we can look at the competition. Are we doing the right thing? Whether we have done enough market research for that particular type of product that we are proposing to launch. And for the buyers, like I said, it's also good for them that they know on future launches, because I've heard so many buyers saying, I should have waited 3 more months and buy this type of property instead of that type of property.
The use of big data not only helps property buyers and developers, as it can also prove equally beneficial to the rental market.
If you want to take this further, it's also good for rental schemes, where at this moment in time, again, we do not have the data. Because you must acknowledge the fact, not everybody can afford to buy a house. So for those people who can't afford to buy houses, because house is a necessity, you need to provide rental houses. And I was told that the house keys, the so-called portal for rental houses, the rental starts from 2,800 or 2,900 ringgit per unit. If people can afford to pay 2,800, 2,900 ringgit rental per month, in a layman's mind, probably it's better for them to buy. But if you have to have big data, what type of properties, at least either the private developers or the public sector, they could plan for this category, this type, we have houses that starts from 800 ringgit for rental. This one, for bigger families, at 1,005. But today, when you look, I was very surprised to hear that from the portal called House Keys, the cheapest rentals starts from 2,800 ringgit per month, which is, to me, you know, if you can afford to pay 2,800 ringgit per month, might as well you buy.
Dato' Sri F.D. also believes this one-stop data centre he is suggesting needs to be a government-led effort, as that is where the source of raw information will come from.
We think the Ministry of Housing and Local Government should spearhead it. Why we say this? Ministry of Housing and Local Government, for residential units, they are the authority that gives out the advertising permit and developer's license, APNDL. So it's very clear, once you get your APNDL, you want to launch. For the non-residential units, the local authorities, be it the district office, be it the district councils, they are the ones who will give you the building plans. So the moment building plans are endorsed by the full council, the indication is that these people want to launch their commercial or industrial units, the non-residential ones. So at least this data can be given, because they also report to the Ministry of Housing and Local Government. All this Majlis Daerah, Majlis Perbandaran, Majlis Bandaraya, they have this two reporting system, one to the state and one to the federal government, which is the Ministry of Housing, local government. So at least they have to inform the Ministry of Housing and Local Government that they have given approvals for so-and-so number of units for commercial or industrial in this area. And usually when people get this building plans approved, the indication is that they will launch it within the next 6 months. And as you know, building plans, if you do not start the launches, it will lapse after a year.
RADAR will also be able to contribute to efforts to collate data relating to supply and demand of property.
I think RADAR, with its 1,400 members around the country, can sit down with the body that will collect all this data. And, you know, because our members are the ones who, in most cases, it's our members who are going to bill it. So when you have this information, you know, for this area, for instance, Segambut, how many affordable homes would Segambut need in the next 5 years? At least you have a short-term plan and a medium-term plan.
So what is the current situation like now? Are property overhangs and oversupply still a serious issue? The RADAR president seems to think so, particularly with the commercial category.
Yes, I think when you talk about commercial units, retail complexes and whatnot, I think the incoming supply far outstrips the demand. So definitely both the private sector and public sector have to do in-depth market research on how to fill up your building. Not only how to fill up your new building, but also your old building. Because, as you know, when we build a new, more iconic, newer, something that we are proud of, there are tenants that will come up from the old buildings. What's going to happen to the old buildings?
As it stands, RADAR is of the view that a good overall planning system needs to be in place to offer property developers and investors better foresight. Dato Sri FD cites Melbourne, Australia as an example from which Malaysia can learn.
Melbourne is one of them because the Melbourne City Council, they will make public the approvals that they've given. I think most cities in Malaysia have their draft plan. So, you know, you follow the draft plan. Draft plan changes every 5 years. Once approval has been given, you can also inform the public. So, again, there needs to be one body that collects all these approvals. Like I said, make it a one-stop data center. So the big data comes from, in my example just now, probably the right authority should be the Ministry of Housing and Local Government, because they are the authority that gives out their advertising permit and developer's license. They are also the authority that will be informed of approvals of building plans for non-housing launches. So once this is given, the public gets to know, developer gets to know, so at least you are better informed. For the public, okay, I can buy this in this location at this price. For developers, wait, this guy is already doing this. Shall I be doing the same thing or shall I be doing something else? So those are important information that should be collected.
While RADAR maintains it is important for any city to have a clear development plan, it is however puzzling why KL City Hall or the Federal Territories Ministry has still failed to gazette the KL Development Master Plan.
I think KL, you have to ask DBKL why they have not gazetted their KL draft plan. I'm sure they have their reasons, because KL is a really fast developing city and the number of affordable homes needed for KL far exceeds the rest of the country. So I also understand that if people build affordable homes, Rumah Wip in Wilayah, probably you should be given a higher density. If draft plan comes to it and say you can only build a certain number of units in this location, but then you are asked to build Rumah Wip, then I think incentives should be given. So I'm sure there is a reason, but it is best for you to pose this question to DBKL.
And so for now, it remains a mystery where the development of Kuala Lumpur is going. In a little while, we will discuss how building townships, especially with affordable homes near public transport hubs, is beginning to gain some traction. In our conversation with RADAR President Dato Sri FD Iskandar. BFM 89.9. This is The Property Show on BFM 89.9. Recently, the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association Malaysia released its property industry survey for the second half of 2017. During the event, we asked its president, Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar, what he thought about a plan mooted by the Transport Ministry to encourage more property developers to concentrate their projects around public transport hubs, what is also known as transport-oriented developments, or TODs. While he is for it, he cautions there may be developers who might just take advantage of this.
Well, first of all, when you have TOD development, please remember not every time to maximize your profits. I have always said that if you have 5 acres next to a TOD, make sure half of it is built for affordable homes, because those people using public transportation are the ones who will need affordable homes. All right? Majority of them, at least. Yes, we understand. It's a business. You want to maximize your returns. But please look at the other half. So, more affordable homes should be built nearer or next to the TOD.
Speaking of affordable homes, there has been some interest, especially among developers, to build such in the past year. Over the second half of 2017, 52%, that's more than half of new residential launches, cost under 500,000 ringgit, most of them being 2 to 3 storey terraced houses, followed by serviced apartments and apartments condominiums.
Well, developers are developers. They are agile. They have to survive. Cash flow is the main game now. It's not about making money. It's not making profit. Cash flow. So at the end of the day, we need to survive in this environment. And if the demand for affordable homes are the ones that can give us this cash flow, so you can see more and more developers doing more affordable homes everywhere in the country.
REDA believes Malaysia is still short of 3.2 million homes based on data that say the country's population is projected to rise 3% to 33 million by year's end, and there are only 5.1 million homes in the market. However, Dato' Sri F.D. says the same cannot be said about shopping complexes and office spaces, which, according to Bank Negara, are seeing an oversupply situation.
I concur with Bank Negara. I actually agree with Bank Negara. There are too many office commercial spaces coming up. That's why in our survey, at least for this half, you can see that most developers have stopped doing this. So what do they do? You can see from the types of commercial units that they're doing, a lot are going back to the traditional shop houses, but not many are building office blocks, retail complexes and so forth. And I think, again, the big data must be there. People are building office space. If they can prove that they can fill up 75%, if it's an owner-occupied, for instance, that's different. But if you're building and then you're holding it, nobody comes and rent, unless you have very deep pockets, then I think you'll be in trouble. And I think Bank Negara is the custodian of the financial stability of the country, the custodian of financial market. I concur with them and they're right.
And so REDA continues to engage with its members, but concedes accurate data on the actual situation are still not easily available.
I think they are scaling down, but obviously there will be some who would think that their land is in the best location, they can sell at the prices, they can fill up their retail complexes and whatnot. So at the end of the day, it's a supply and demand thing. You build something, there's no demand for it, unless you have deep pockets, you're going to be in trouble. So that's why I said, keep on doing proper and in-depth research. Don't build something, there are no takers. I keep reminding our members that.
However, the REDA president draws a line between shop houses and mega developments like shopping malls, even though both are categorized as commercial.
Why I say shop houses is a little bit different. Shop houses is to serve a community, like a township. You build a couple of thousand of houses in a satellite town. So you need some form of services like your neighborhood shops, clinics and so forth to serve that community. But does that community need another mega building? That's something else.
Moving on to developments and innovations going forward, Malaysia's Construction Industry Development Board is set to enforce the use of industrialized building system initiatives in the hope this will reduce building costs and possibly even lower property prices. However, REDA feels the situation as it stands is fraught with challenges as there aren't many IBS suppliers.
We support IBS. Definitely we support IBS. But the fact remains, today when you compare IBS to the conventional method of construction, there's still a distinction, there's still a difference of 20 to 25% in terms of cost. So we would like to see incentives being given to the users of IBS, to the developers who are using the system. If they are using the system, give higher plot ratio, give faster approvals. To those contractors who are importing the machine and the system, probably give them a tax break, a 5-year tax incentive. And once you have the economies of scale, like it or not, the prices are the same or IBS is cheaper, people will start using IBS.
Meanwhile, CIDB is reported to be considering the prospects of introducing new incentives for local players to adopt IBS concepts, including incentive packages to encourage more mechanization and automation. The RADAR president welcomes this news.
Every little bit helps, definitely. But at the end of the day, when you force people to do something, they will do it grudgingly. Why don't you get the buy-in of people? Like I said, RADAR supports IBS. We want to see IBS. At the end of the day, we are also very concerned about the number of foreign labourers in the country. Definitely. At the end of the day, we want to reduce the number of foreign labourers in the country. But for us to go, contractors to go into this, get the buy-in. How do you get the buy-in? One, show that the cost of using IBS is actually the same or even cheaper. For this to happen, like I said, incentives must be given. And to the developers, okay, maybe it costs slightly more, but you get higher plot ratio, you get faster approvals, you get other form of incentives. Definitely, people will start buying in into this concept. Probably in 5 years' time, IBS controls 90% of total construction in the country.
For now, however, RADAR remains in talks with CIDB to help realise this plan of making more building projects in the country IBS compliant, but challenges remain.
We have been talking to them, but at the end of the day, CIDB is under the Ministry of Works, so they understand. But the incentives comes from the Ministry of Finance. I think we have presented, but we hope more presentations and a decision. We've been talking about this for the last, I think, at least 2-3 years. But where are the incentives? And then you have to tell the state government and the local councils, if people are using IBS, give them the incentive. Higher plot ratio, higher density, lower the premium, lower the development charges, waive the IFS contribution, and so forth. So there are things to be done, which we have proposed, but we have not received any feedback.
As it stands now, CIDB is making it compulsory for all projects worth over 50 million ringgit to achieve a minimum IBS score point of 50 via its construction industry transformation program. This will be implemented in stages from this year before full enforcement by 2020. Does RADAR think these targets are realistic?
I don't think realistically that you will achieve the majority of construction in Malaysia to use the IBS method. It is becoming more, but whether it's gone beyond the 50%, I don't think so.
That was Keith Kam speaking with Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar, President of the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association of Malaysia, or RADAR. You can catch the full conversation on podcast by downloading the BFM app on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Next up is the News Bulletin at the top of the hour, followed by Enterprise. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.